Ready? For those of you that are here, those of you that are online, those of you that are on their way. But what a wonderful time of year. I think a lot of people say Thanksgiving is like one of their favorite times of the year, obviously next to Christmas and Easter. But there is something special about having an attitude of gratitude. Amen? Especially, you know, we kind of like get this entitlement attitude sometimes the older we get. I know I do. And it's hard to just stay thankful, not just for the big things, but for the small things in life, and to appreciate one another, no matter how well we've known each other or how long we've known each other. We don't ever want to lose that. So the title of this message is not just Thanksgiving, but Living Thanksgiving. So you can turn Thanksgiving into Thanksgiving, because even though it's an American holiday once a year, culturally, as Christians, we're supposed to be thankful all the time. Every day. Amen. So it's good to have a celebration for our freedoms and all the history that goes along with that, but as well as just show more appreciation towards one another. So having said that, before I begin, why don't we turn to the person next to you and say, I am thankful because of this. Okay? So ask or explain why you are thankful and what are you thankful about? Okay? Take your time. 30 more seconds. For you that are online, do the same thing. Please. Well, where would we be without the Word of God? I was thinking in my own life, what am I thankful for? The truth, right? It's the truth that sets us free. So where would we be without the truth? We would be like a lost ship, right, in the sea, having no navigation at all. Well, the pain that comes from not being ungrateful is pretty severe. In fact, in Romans, it talks about that, the consequences of an ungrateful heart. And I'm following along in the scriptures in your message notes. By the way, in your message notes, I have three sermons that are summarized before we get to the one today. That's just how it worked out. So if you flip over the message note page, you will see the sermon on the back page on the right column called Living Thanksgiving. But the consequences of an ungrateful heart are many. A grateful heart is a God-fearing one. The consequences of not having one is really tragic, because as it says in Romans 1:21 in your message notes, that when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God and were not thankful. Did you catch that? But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. So it's tragic. It's huge. If we're not thankful, if we don't have an attitude of gratitude, well, then we get into the darkness of decadence in our lives and in our culture. Things go sour very quickly, all because we're not thankful. It's pretty simple. It really is. Well, that's the bad news. What's the good news? I'm going to look at some benefits of being thankful. We're going to look at some benefits of being thankful this morning. And here are a few. Provision is promised. Guidance and safety is promised. Peace and protection is promised. These are just a few of the benefits of Thanksgiving. Well, let's look at these one at a time. By the way, I'm thankful for Wayne this morning, who's here. Out of the hospital, he had a tremendous trial, but he came through it, and thank you, and I'm sure if he was up here, and he's going to give his testimony, thank you for all your prayers for him, but he's doing really well this morning. Yeah, amen. God has been really faithful, and hopefully, brother, you'll be back on the pond fishing again soon. I know you will, and probably this weekend. You can hold a rod with just one arm, you know. You don't need two. Yeah, a little ice fishing. Yeah, probably this weekend. You're right. It's cold enough. Well, first of all, provision. Let's look at provision. Jesus heals 10 men with leprosy, as Tim read. And let's look at this text and see what we can pull out about what it means to be thankful. Well, starting in verse 11, it says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee." Again, Jesus always goes in a direction that's intentional because he wants to talk to someone. He did it with the woman at the well. He did not have to go through her area, but he did because he had a divine appointment. And Jesus has another divine appointment by going through Samaria and Galilee. And what is that divine appointment? Let's take a look. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Now, leprosy was thought of as being an infliction of sin. It's a punishment more than any other sin. We see many examples in the Old Testament. People who disobeyed God, all of a sudden, they had this inflicted upon them as a punishment. It was a mark of God's displeasure. They felt very rejected. I'm not saying that's the case in this case. I'm just saying that was the stigma. That was the history behind leprosy. And so they stood at a distance, verse 13, and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Have mercy on us." Well, what is behind that sense of mercy, of pity? Well, there's a lot behind that. See, lepers lived outside the city, separate from everyone else. They had to live with pain, and they had to live with pain with each other. Leprosy is spread by moisture droplets passed through the air from someone who has leprosy, similar to COVID. Now, leprosy is really actually only mildly contagious. You can't immediately catch leprosy by touching someone. That's the science behind it. It would take years of living close to an untreated leprosy patient to catch the disease. Around 95% of people are thought to be naturally immune of leprosy. But when immunity is lowered, right, due to poor nutrition or illness or general living conditions, people are more likely to catch leprosy. Leprosy can produce muscle paralysis. It can result in a clawed finger, a foot drop, and this makes it very, very difficult for people to walk and even to use their hands. So when these 10 lepers came to Jesus, I mean, they weren't just not having a skin issue. They were just having a limb issue. And it gets worse. Leprosy, if left untreated, can damage nerves in the face. It can cause your eye muscles to stop working. And your eyes are no longer working because you can't blink. And so your eyesight is damaged. In fact, many lepers are blind because of that, because they're unable to use their eyelids. I mean, today millions of people are affected by leprosy. The World Health Organization says 200,000 new cases of leprosy, you know, are determined every year. People are often cured, but again, they're permanently disabled. So when Jesus heals them, and we'll see in a minute, he is totally healing them of their sight, of their walk, and they can work again. It's a transformational healing. It is a thorough healing of mind, body, soul, and spirit. So they asked in a way that implied more than just being physically healed. So when they said, you know, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me," now you get what they mean behind this "mercy on me." Because they were emotionally disturbed, physically disturbed, socially disturbed, vocationally disturbed. They were challenged in all of these ways. So they're like, "God, we can't stand it anymore. This is not just how we look. It's we can't even live. We can't live in thanksgiving. How do we be thankful to you? We're having this pain in our lives." So they just cry out. They didn't mention they were Jews. They didn't mention there was a Samaritan there. At that point, their cultural ethnicity had nothing to do with their desire to be healed. They just wanted to feel better, whole, and in God's arms again. They wanted to regain their belongings in society. They wanted to renew their identity as God-fearing people. They wanted to restore their purpose in life and work again and love their families. And so in verse 14, Jesus says this, "When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed." Isn't that neat? as they went, they were cleansed. Obedience was necessary for their healing. I can identify that, not with leprosy, but because of my illness, which was an arthritic rheumatism. It was both, bursitis as well. And I was crippled a lot of my young adult and college years. And I was, in fact, when we first went overseas to Indonesia, we were advised not to go. Because Indonesia is a very humid climate. And that's not where you go, right, if you have this kind of illness that I had. Maybe Saudi Arabia would have been a better place. Probably wouldn't have gone there, but nevertheless. But we went anyways. And as a testimony, and I'm telling the truth, about 6 months after we got there, I started to feel better and better. And even in that culture or in that climate where you're not supposed to, God started a healing in my life. And it took about 5 to 10 years before I became fully healed. And so I believe, and that's not because of my strong faith, but we decided that we're going to go anyways. And I really believe, we'll find out when we get to heaven, whether God honored that sense of obedience. Well, that's true, I think, in our lives, isn't it? Just step out. Just do the next thing. And even if you're weak, God can still use you, but he can also heal you. And he did in this case. So it says, it is as we go, according to Morrison, on the commanded road that we experience the commanded blessing. Where we're on the commanded road, we experience the commanded blessing. Let the church, he says, obey the commands of the Lord Jesus. And with enthusiasm, evangelize the nations. And as she goes, she will be healed. I love that. I can't wait to see the effects of these 19,000 bags and all these churches going out with the gospel literature. How much healing is going to take place? How much spiritual, mental, physical healing upon those who will read this gospel literature and even upon those who deliver the gospel literature. Amen? Watch what happens. There's so much truth to that because of what's in the Word. Well, verse 15, let's continue. One of them, when he came, saw he was healed and came back, praising God in a loud voice. He ran to God, like the worship song we just sang, praising God, shouting. Now, you can't shout very loud when you have this disease, but he was thoroughly healed and he was running. He came back to the Lord here. In verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Well, where were the Jews? How come the Jews didn't come back with a loud voice showing their appreciation to God? Why was it the Samaritan? Well, humility is accompanied with thankfulness. How about us? When we're thankful, do we have this humility that accompanies our thankfulness? Well, in verse 17, Jesus asks the same question I just asked. Were not all the 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Verse 18, has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner, the Samaritan, who are like half Jews? I mean, he was the Samaritans, as you know the history, they were looked down upon. They weren't even considered real Jews because of their mixed breed background. Well, that person came back. What do we know about this? What can we learn about this? And that's a couple of things. Number one, Christ keeps count how many favors men receive from him and will call them into particular account thereof. God and Jesus never misses a beat. He never misses a beat. He's sitting there counting who came back and who didn't. Why is he concerned about those particulars? Because he's concerned about character. He's concerned about truth. And that's what we can understand here in this comment. God is gracious, but we can disappoint God. He is not the giant marshmallow in the sky. He doesn't say, well, boys will be boys, girls will be girls. He may be pleased that we are his children, but he's not satisfied until we become children with his standard of love and his standard of holiness. Yes, he wants to heal us physically. Yes, he wants to heal us emotionally. Yes, he wants to heal us relationally. Those are all important. But more than anything else, he wants us to heal us in terms of our virtue and our character and our love and our holiness. That's more of what he's interested than in all of those other things. And that's what we see here with Jesus. So we can be thankful, right, for virtue. We can be thankful for truth. And we can be thankful for when we do the right thing. He has great expectations for us when it comes to this area of holiness, love, and our character. It's not about legalism. It's about love. And sometimes those to whom he has done so much receives so little. Have you thanked the Lord? Let's get practical. For your mom and dad, for your parents, for your siblings, for your children. Practically, you know, for doing the laundry, cleaning the house, driving you around. Husbands, do you ever show appreciation to your wives? Not just for the big things, but for the little things. Do you make them feel like they're never measuring up? That they can never please you? You know, spouses, do you make the other person feel like they're never doing anything right? Let's be careful of that. I know I'm guilty of that. That we have this sense of perfectionism, and we never show appreciation. Now, of course, you want to give constructive criticism from time to time. But we don't want to have a relationship with our families or our friends or even work situations where we're always making the other person feel like they're never doing enough. That's an unhealthy relationship, right? And so let's be sensitive about that as the Lord speaks the truth in love this morning. This is what he's saying, not me. We take for granted sometimes what we do have. Well, we have been made whole by Jesus Christ, our Savior. We can see that the truth. We can walk in the light. We can work again with our hands. We can talk again with those we love. We have the abundant life by his grace. We can run off and enjoy the glory of this, but we don't want to not return to God and thank him for this. And that's why we come here on Sunday morning, right? To thank the Lord for what he's done throughout the whole week. Our worship and our prayers and our service and our daily life ought to be saturated with thanksgiving to God. Philippians 4:6. In Luke 10:20, it says this: "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life." Your names are recorded in heaven. Do you realize that? Your first, middle, last name, how many names you have, they're written in the book of life, and they're never going to be blotted out. Now, that's something to be thankful for. No matter what you're going through, someday, every pain, every suffering will be gone, and we'll be in heaven forever. So you can always be thankful in circumstances. We don't necessarily are thankful for everything, but we're thankful in everything. Amen? In Revelation 20:15, it says that if any's name is written in the book of life, you will not be thrown into the lake of fire. Verse 19 of the same chapter. Then he said to him, "Go, rise, your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." There was an extra healing for this 10th leper. Jesus still did heal all the lepers. But there was a special healing for this 10th one that came. What was that healing? When Jesus said this, he likely meant God's work within the man's heart. The other lepers had whole bodies, but sick hearts. How do we know? Because they didn't come back. And maybe they didn't stay healed for very long. We don't know. But nevertheless, this leper got more healing than any of the other lepers. Wow, what a benefit of being thankful. Not only are you thankful for what God has done in your life, but by being thankful, you will be thankful for the more blessings in your life because you were thankful at that moment. And that's good news. Another benefit of being thankful is guidance and safety. Rejoice always and pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Wow, there's a lot loaded in that one scripture. But let's look at it, starting with in Christ Jesus, and then we'll look at in all circumstances. Notice he says, this is for God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Last week I handed out these little wristbands called Belonging to Christ, taken from Galatians chapter 5. It says, put your passions and your evil desires, crucify those, because you belong to Christ. So that's why we created these little wristbands, and the initials are BTC. It's just a reminder that we belong to Christ. Our belonging, this is so important, guys. Our belonging determines our identity, and our belonging determines our purpose. Whatever you belong to will determine who you think you are and how good you feel about what you do. Your security, your belonging, your significance, your purpose, and your love as children, your identity, is all centered in on what you belong to. That's so important. And anybody who has difficulty in any area of their life, it's always a belonging issue. It always is a belonging issue. Where is their loyalty? Who do they take their advice from? And whoever they feel they belong to will determine who they think they are and what they think they should be doing in life. So belonging is massive here in Scripture. That's why he says, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We belong to him. And our youth are going to demonstrate this afternoon with their testimonies, tremendous testimonies. I had a chance to look at all of them. And praise the Lord for Pastor Andy and for Joy and for others who have worked with these students, and we're going to see the fruit of it. Jack, Teddy, Daniel, Sean, Bohau, Chloe, and some other adults from the Light of Life Ministry. Our culture, you know, is continually telling us who we should belong to, where identity is, where our purpose is, and it just goes on and on and on, competing with what God says in Scriptures. God made us in his image, in connecting with him through the world he created. And now that's something we can be thankful for. Amen? He did not design us to be immersed in fantasies, in virtual reality, where we forget who we are and who made us. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Now this is something we can be thankful for. Amen? God already told us what to expect in the next world and what he expects us to do to get there. And we should be thankful for this. Rejoice always and pray in all circumstances. Let's look at that part of the scripture. We looked at in Christ Jesus, now in all circumstances. Really? I mean, seriously? Are we supposed to be thankful in all circumstances? I know we're not supposed to be thankful for all circumstances, right? Okay, God causes all things to work together for good, but God doesn't cause all things. He allows things, but that's different than causing things. So he causes all things to work together for good that we might be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's Romans 8:29. Let's not forget that. So the goal is to become more like Jesus. Whether our circumstances change or don't change, we have to be like Christ. Because Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, like was talked about earlier. Such an important concept. But sometimes we can't find things that we need to be thankful for. And it's difficult when you go through all kinds of difficulties. You know, how do you go on when there's pain and sickness? How do you go on when you continually have health issues in your body? Well, I've asked a sister in Christ to come this morning to tell us what God is doing in her life. Angela, can you come on up here this morning? She has gone through some tremendous issues, and I am just so impressed, not to flatter her, but just so impressed about how she has been able to handle all this. And I just asked her to come this morning to share what she's been learning about God's faithfulness. So, yeah, Angela, come on up now. Thanks.
It's really good to see you all. I know I haven't seen some of you all in a long time. A lot has changed. I know I'm going to cry. A lot has changed in the last year for me. Sorry, I'm already. So with turning 30, you know, you don't think about getting diagnosed with diseases and things like that. So was in December of 2020. I was at my parents' house and just staying there for a while. My dad had blood clotting issues where he had to go to the ambulance and hospital and everything. like that. So I stayed with my parents also just to stay, save money and just to be with them. But then in December, I thought what was eczema. It was a rash because I had eczema growing up. And so then I ended up getting knee and joint pain. I didn't put the two together. And then in the spring, and then in the spring of 2021, I started getting all these other symptoms. My feet started swelling. Again, the rash didn't leave. I started having heavy breathing, and I didn't know the reason for that. And I was praying to God it wasn't COVID. At the time, I did go to see a pulmonary, and there was no issue that they saw with the CT scan. I had pressure on the chest. My cuticles were turning yellow. And then it started to progress even more, where I had teeth pain. I went to the dentist. There was no cavities or anything like that, so I didn't know what the issue was. And so when I went to see a rheumatologist, which it was so hard to get into, with all the COVID issues, it was months that took time for me to even get an appointment being a new patient. But when I went to the dermatologist first, well, the second time I'll say, they was either getting confused with vitiligo, which is what Michael Jackson had, which is losing pigmentation. So my chest and my back, I have lost pigmentation in that. And also my hands are starting to lose pigmentation as well. And I'm sorry, y'all. And so they didn't know if it was that or even scleroderma. So I wasn't familiar with that, looking that up, autoimmune disease for both of them. But then it's like the symptoms still kept going and going. I got fatigue, heartburn, and then also muscle aches. So I got on Celebrex to help with the muscle pain because I couldn't get out of bed. And so in July, when I just kind of had enough of just like being in the house and cooped up, I did go out for July 4th and had a great time. But then afterwards, I ended up in the ER. Debbie and Brooke was encouraging me to go to the ER because after just walking two or three laps around the track, it's just like heavy breathing. And so when I went to the ER, thank God I did because I have scarring on the lungs, and I have inflammation in the lungs. So the scarlet, they end up diagnosing me with scleroderma after a biopsy. And when I was reading more and more about scleroderma, it can affect your internal organs. So the next thing was, okay, lungs have been damaged. What about my heart? What about my kidney? So thank God, in the midst of all of this, I was thanking God that nothing was wrong with my heart and nothing was wrong with the rest of my organs. And then after that, I had nerve issues. So even now, as I'm speaking, the right side of my face is has a burning feeling to it. So they didn't know exactly what that was. I got testing for that, and they thought it was, I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, dermatomyositis, I couldn't pronounce it right, but which is another autoimmune disease. So when you have two that are in under the family of the connective tissue, it is called mixed connective tissue disease. So I'm dealing with symptoms of two autoimmune diseases that both can cause scarring on the lungs. So running for me right now is not a big, it's not something in my life that I can do. Which changes because I'm very, like, active and hyper and, you know, like to do a lot of outdoor activities. And so also with the nerves, I had to get an EMG. So then my eyes started messing up. And I didn't know if it was the eyes itself or just anything under the skin. And so I went to an ophthalmologist. And there's inflammation in my eyelids as well. So I'm like, where is inflammation throughout my whole body? So dealing with that, it was just like appointment after appointment, different tests, taking different blood tests, and just all of that. So again, my right, the right side of my face was just consistently aching. And my doctor ended up asking me for to get an MRI. So with that, they saw the trigeminal nerve system disorder, so which is trigeminal neuralgia, which is a chronic pain to the face. And that, to me, is the hardest one to endure because, again, it is constant, a burning feeling. But as I was reading more about it and listening to different stories, there can be strikes of pain randomly. And I had a few episodes usually at night where it comes across the forehead or even with the scalp. And then more symptoms started coming. My hair started thinning a little bit as well. And I did lose a few pounds, but that's a good side to it. So just dealing with all of this, I can honestly say that I was broken. Because this was not part of my plan. And it has been hard. Do not get me wrong, it has been so hard. Because just, I know beauty is skin deep, but just feeling, just losing a pigmentation. And so I had to go through PUVA light treatment. But because of the other autoimmune disease, my rheumatologist took me off PUVA light treatment. So I don't know, the loss of pigmentation just keeps continuing throughout my body. So it's just like, it's even with the PUVA light treatment that I was doing, wasn't guaranteed that my skin would be restored to its complexion. And so, you know, I was just talking to friends and things like that with, you know, how my self-esteem was. And so, to be honest with you, I didn't feel like, I don't know, worthy to even one day get married, or if I would be more of a liability to somebody than an asset because of all the medical. But I can say my parents, even though I'd have a husband, but my parents have been there every step of the way. They have been to most of my appointments, and even having friends as if my parents can't come up if they would be with me. So I've been very grateful for just having my parents there, and even household chores, not being able to cut the grass, but my dad coming up to cut it for me. But then another test came with my dad, and I think they were trying to, you know, protect me in a way. But my dad was just diagnosed with cancer, and so I kind of felt like Job, like, come on, Lord. You know, what are you allowing to occur in my life? Are you testing my faith? Because I am faithful. But I had to humble myself because there are times where I question him. I don't question his ability, but just trying to figure out what's going on. But then I got into a women's group, and they were doing a Bible study on God's hope preventing depression. Because all of this happening during a time of a pandemic where it's like, if I'm coughing, I don't want nobody to think I have COVID. And then it's like, if I did get COVID, will I be the one on the ventilator? So because of all the underlying conditions. And then if I did go out wearing the mask and I'm the only one wearing the mask, where I'm the only one that has to stay back from everybody else because of just being nervous if I was to get COVID. So, but in our women's group, we were talking about just living by what we know and not how we feel. Because sometimes when we go through things, we feel like God has left us. We question, God, are you actually there? So living by what I know is in Romans 8:28, for we know that there, those that love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For God foreknew all, he also predestined to conform to the image of his son. I do know 1 Peter 5:7. Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardships or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? 38 says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, any powers, neither height or depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So in my mind, it's like whatever comes my way, you know, I'm making sure that I'm staying in my word, staying rooted, because without that, I truly would fall. And so in the beginning, I was praying like, God, heal me. Please heal me. But as I'm reading more and more, it's my prayers have not only turned from God, can you heal me? If you don't heal me, and things do get worse, that you give me the strength to endure whatever comes my way. So I was reading about Charles Spurgeon as well, and he's a known preacher and author. Became a pastor in 1854 in London, but he died from his illness. He was sick for 24 years. He died at the age of 57 from having gout that intensified and accompanied with kidney disease. And he said, when you see my coffin carried to the silent grave, I should, like every one of you, whether converted or not, be constrained to say that he did earnestly urge us in plain and simple language not to put off the consideration of eternal things. He did entrust us to look to Christ. He believed that all things, birth, health, and circumstance operate according to God's sovereign design. I think in the beginning I was kind of like really upset because it wasn't part of my plan. Nobody wakes up and says, I want all of these symptoms. But I get anything that I go through that I will hold fast to Romans 8:18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time that are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. And then if Paul says in Philippians 4, I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstance, for I know that it is what it is to be in need, for I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So again, I pray for healing, but I pray for the Lord's will to be done. If it is for the Lord's will for me to continue to go through this, then so be it. And Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continuously be in my mouth. And my favorite scripture of all, it's better one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And I say this because I put this everywhere. Lord, if it's your will for me to be single for the rest of my life, I'd rather be in your will than to be married to someone that you do not approve of. Lord, if it's your will for me to have this illness, Lord God, I'd rather be with you and have this illness than to be with Satan and to have healthy life. So, because I know the end results, I know to look to heaven. So just in this time, I just wish that you guys will pray for me to continue with the strength. And if God gives me healing, then so be it. So thank you.
Well, let's just do just that. Let's honor our sister's request and pray right now for her. Father, we thank you for her faithfulness. And thank you for her encouragement to us this morning, what it means to stand strong. And even though it's been difficult, you've been there every moment. You have never left her. Her godly parents have been there right beside her every moment, and so have you, even closer in her heart. And we thank you for that, that even though we don't know the why, we know the one who does know the why. And that'll get us through the most difficult times. And we thank you that she demonstrates that by knowing that nothing can separate us from you. But at the same time, Lord, it's not easy. And we can feel her pain in our hearts. And when one body, part of the body suffers, we all suffer. And we're suffering with her. And you're suffering with her. You did it on the cross, and you continue to. because that's just the kind of God you are. Empathetic and compassionate. But Lord, how much longer must she suffer? Can you step in? Can you touch her? We read stories after stories every Sunday of how you heal people. And we have just read one. If you are, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, you can step in right now. And you can say, be healed. And every cell in her body will obey your commands because you created it. And they have no choice. So would you do that, Lord? Would you heal all her immunity deficiencies, the few that she has, and any other unknown thing that's in her body? If you say the word, she'll be healed. And in your time and in your way. And as she said, we'll just thank you for whatever your answer is. And we promise to continue to pray every day until we see your answer. In Jesus' name, amen. Finally, God promises peace and protection if we're thankful. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near, as our sister just mentioned. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will transcend and will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There it is again. We belong to him. So even though our sister is experiencing tremendous anxiety and pain, there is that peace in her heart that nothing can ever take that away because she's connected to the one who gave it to her. One final scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 and 18, it says this, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory, beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen. And even though our inner man is decaying, and all of us have issues, even though our outer man is decaying, and all of us have issues, that spiritual component of our lives is being renewed day by day. Love, the peace, the joy is growing and maturing. Life is tough, but so are you. Because we can grow through what we go through, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. And so, when we go through difficulties, and it's a hard thing to be thankful in that situation. I'm not talking about for it. I'm just saying it's hard to be thankful in that situation. We can do it by giving our emotions and our thoughts and our prayers to God and asking for help and staying connected with one another. But there's one more thing that we need to do, and that's to file it in the does it make sense file. There is a file that you can have in your life where things just don't make sense. Put it in there, and someday you will understand what's happening. It happened in the life of Joseph when he was sold into slavery for so many years. In the end, he saw that everything worked out according to God's plan. And when this is all over in her life and in our lives, we're going to see that it all made sense because history is really his story of redemption. Resentment doesn't relieve pain. It reinforces it. Okay? Resentment doesn't relieve pain. It reinforces it. Stay tender before the Lord so that root of bitterness doesn't make even that painful experience more painful. No human being has ever or will ever experience the amount of pain that Jesus had on the cross. Amen. Dying for the sins of the world. Yet his pain ended, and he was restored perfectly pain-free when he rose from the dead and was seated at the right hand of the Father. Now that's something to look forward to. And that's something to be thankful for. That not even death, the most difficult trial for all of us, can overcome, but has been overcome. There is no sting, and there's always hope. May this Thanksgiving we think about that hope that comes in our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave us that victory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this tremendous message of truth this morning from your word, and through the words of our worship, through the words of our testimony, through the words of this message. May it bring comfort and hope for those that don't feel that this morning, that we always will keep our eyes on you, the author and the finisher of our faith, who said on the cross, it is finished, and it is enough. And may we always keep that in mind, wherever and whatever we do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.